Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, and with me tonight is Mike Bonner. He's filling in for David, who's off on vacation. I guess he deserves a little break every now and again, but Mike Bonner is the preacher for the Fifth and Grape congregation in Abilene. He's a good friend of mine and David, and he's going to do an outstanding job tonight, and we're just thankful that Mike was willing to fill in for David in our program tonight. Now, you're listening to KEQX 89.7 in Stephenville and KQXE 91.1 in Eastland, blanketing the area with good country music and also valuable information that we're going to share with you tonight. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and we encourage you to call in at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. And if you prefer, you can also email a question or a comment in. I'll be here in front of my computer listening and looking for the emails to come in at dspoppy@yahoo.com. Now, our motto is and has always been and will always be, you have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. We have over the last several weeks now been looking at the attributes of God. And we understand that understanding the attributes of God really helps us to have the proper response to God. And we have mentioned that the more we know about God, the more we're going to love Him and the more we're going to want to be faithful to Him. And so it's important for us to understand the attributes of God. In past radio programs, we were looking at the love of God. And everybody knows about the love of God. We're told in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 that simply God is love. And because God is love, we're told in John 3 and verse 16 that God sent His only beloved Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. And you've probably heard people say all of their lives that God loves the sinner and hates the sin. But in reality, the Bible teaches something a little bit different. In reality, the Bible teaches that God loves the sinner, but He also hates the sinner. For example, you'll notice in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 5, it talks about how that it says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. God loves a sinner enough that He sent His Son to die upon the cross. But at the same time, He also hates the sin. He hates the sinner because you cannot be involved in a sin without the sinner. And in closely related to this that we've looked at in the past is also the mercy of God. Accepting the benefits of God's love brings about the mercy of God. And God is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But also associated with this love-hate relationship we have is the justice of God. God demands that evil be punished. He demands that sin be punished. But one of the things, Mike, that we really need to get a grasp on with regard to the attributes of God is the holiness of God. And wouldn't you say, Mike, that our world is really lacking in holiness today?
I would agree. I would definitely agree that our world is lacking in holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we need to constantly be reminded of as God's people.
That's right.
because God is holy, and 1 Peter 1:16, the Bible clearly teaches that we ought to be a holy people because he is holy. Shouldn't God's people imitate God?
That's what we're told to do, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So God is sacred. God is pure. We know God is all about righteousness, so we need to be as God is.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so we can't really be the kind of people that we ought to be unless we're going to imitate God. God is holy. We've also got to be a people who are holy. But when you look around the world today, Mike, you see people who are just getting further and farther away from holiness. For example, President Obama here recently has pretty much said it's all right to be a homosexual. We have places like Starbucks and Target and Penny's who are now promoting this kind of lifestyle. And you look at all of the evils that are going on. You know, we worry a lot about, and we've talked a little bit about this today, Mike, about how that we're worried so much about politics, and we ought to be worried about that somewhat. But to me, Mike, the thing that really is causing our nation more trouble is our nation's lack of holiness.
So true. You know, and when we consider what the scriptures teach, and it's very clear that righteousness exalts a nation,
exactly,
but sin is a reproach to any people. So we need to make sure that if we're going to be God's people or a nation that is following after God, then we need to exalt those things that are righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, then the demise not of only of our country, but of our moral fiber is at stake.
Exactly. You know, in our founding fathers, when they come up with our founding documents, the Bible was that which was quoted more than any other document. And so if we're going to be the kind of people that's going to be pleasing unto God, then we're going to have to be a holy people. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and if you have a question or a comment about our program tonight or really anything you'd like to discuss, we're open to discuss anything from God's Word with you. The number to call is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. So we've talked about the love of God and how that God also hates the sinner who's involved in sin and who simply will not repent of his sins. We've looked at the mercy and the justice of God. We've shown how that we also need to understand God's holiness. And God is too holy to look upon sin, and that's why he hates the sinner. And we've noticed also that God is also a righteous God. You know, and when we think about righteousness, really righteousness is really closely associated with the holiness of God. And when we think about the righteousness of God, last week we spent a great deal of time looking at Romans chapter 1. Verses 16 through 18, and I'd like for us to kind of spend a little bit of time there before we go on to another important attribute of God. When we think about the righteousness of God, look with me in your Bibles in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Why, Paul? Well, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, where, Mike? In the gospel,
in
right?
In the gospel.
That's right. In the gospel is the righteousness, and that's what we're talking about, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed. Where is it revealed?
In the gospel.
In the gospel. From heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So last week, we looked at God's mandatory righteousness. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 shows us that his righteousness is expressed in moral law. We also noted his punitive or his condemning righteousness. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 talks about the wrath of God. Mike, doesn't God's word speak a lot about his wrath?
A lot. As a matter of fact, when you consider the righteousness of God, that's why Jesus was sent. Mm-hmm. When you consider Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, it is because of the blood of Christ, his sacrifice, that we are saved from his wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And God is able and really has every right to punish sin because of his holiness.
That's right.
And we find the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, revealed in his word.
Exactly. You know, he would not even be a just God if he did not punish sin.
He'll be a respecter of persons.
Exactly. And so we see then why it's important for us to understand the love and hate of God, the mercy and the justice of God, and also the mandatory righteousness, his punitive righteousness, and then what we just alluded to, his redemptive righteousness. Because God is righteous and loving, he is also, because of his righteousness, provided a way for us to escape his wrath.
Amen to that. Also, when you consider Ephesians 4, verse number 24, because of the righteousness of God, we're able to put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to be that new creature in Christ. But Paul, as he is talking to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 4, verse 24, he is telling them to put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so when we understand his redemptive righteousness, well, we really better understand his love.
That's right.
Well, when we think about the attributes of God, some of the attributes that are really mind-boggling to me, Mike, is that of the omnipotence of God. You know, omnipotence seems like a real big word, but what does omnipotence mean, Mike?
It means to have all power.
Uh-huh. All power. Now, if God has all power, who has any power left?
There's none left for man.
He is all powerful.
That's right.
You know, when we think about the power of God, you can't help but think about the power that he manifested in the creation of all things. For example, you'll notice in Psalm 33 and verse 6, it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." And in that same chapter, in verse 9, it says, "He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Now, Mike, that's power, that God simply spoke all things into creation. But when you think about that, the world has a little bit different view, don't they, in regard to how the world came into existence?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, some believe that there was some big bang.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I often think, well, if there's a big bang, there had to have been a big banger.
That's right.
There had to have been someone who had that power.
And God spoke.
And God spoke it.
And all things came into existence. That's power. You know, can you hardly imagine God said, "Let there be light," and there was light? That's power. And so we've got to realize the omnipotence, the all-powerful, the unlimited power. He is able to do anything that is in his nature to do.
Well, you remember what Abraham said, "Is there anything too hard for God?"
That's right.
There's nothing too hard for God.
Exactly. And so when we think about his creation and him simply speaking, that attests to the great power of God. But how can we not think about his great power and him simply speaking all things into existence and not also think about the power of his holy word? You know, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we're reminded that Paul is not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Mike, that same word that spoke all things into existence is the very same word that we have written in the words of God, of the Bible, and it is that same word that has the power to bring salvation to mankind.
Even when Jesus was talking to the Galilean Jews on the Sermon on the Mount, you remember what he told them in Matthew 6:33? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness."
Yes.
God wants us to seek after his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But not just for those who are Christians, but all men.
Mm-hmm.
God wants all men to see that he is a righteous God, and God wants all men to be saved.
Exactly. And if we're going to seek after his righteousness, then we're going to be involved in seeking after his word.
That's right.
Because Psalm 119, verse 172 says that God's word is righteousness.
That's right.
And I get back to his word and the power of his word. God is all-powerful. He spoke all things into existence. We have the very Word of God that He spoke. And, you know, these words not only tell us how to become a Christian, but they give us the power to live the life we ought to live here on this earth, doesn't it?
That's right. Righteous lives.
That's right.
Which tells us what's in the very mind of God. Because when you consider 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16, we understand that God's word is coming forth from His mind, which tells us, Tom, that God has a righteous mind.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't God want us to have a righteous mind as
he
well?
Does. And the only way we're going to know the mind of God is
we have to go to the Word of God.
Exactly. And you know, we're told also in the book of Hebrews at chapter 11, in verse 3, again, talking about the power of God and the power of His Word, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that all things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God's powerful.
That's right.
And I just can't get over the power that God manifested in creation. You look at all of the intricacies of our world. You just look at the human body and the intricacies therein. And you look at all of the animals in the creation and the beautiful scenery that God has provided. That is power of God.
And that power is also seen in His sovereignty.
Yes.
Because He has all rule.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God wouldn't be an all ruler, if you will, if I could say it that way, unless He had all of the power.
Exactly.
And that power is seen in His word. Therefore, we can understand the mind of God. We can understand what we need to do to be saved, how to be holy, righteous, etc.
Exactly. And, you know, when we think about, again, His power, His omnipotence, you know, we automatically are reminded of His creation. We're reminded of the power of His Word. But fearfully, we ought to also be reminded of the power that He has to condemn us to hell if we're not faithful.
Right.
The same God who created heaven and earth, the same God who created the beauties around us, do you think He could not create a hell that would be so horrible that, it's just a fearful thing to think of?
It is. And isn't it unfortunate that human beings have to go to hell?
It is.
Because when you consider Matthew chapter 25, hell was not designed for human beings.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed for the devil and his angels.
That's right.
So when people go to hell, that was never God's plan. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 9, also 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, when we think about the power of God, you know, in the book of Genesis, in chapter 8, in verse 23, we have a very unique passage here talking about the power of God. We see there in Genesis chapter 8, beginning in verse 21, "And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." The same God who had the power to destroy the earth with the flood also has the same power not to do it.
That's right.
God is all powerful to create or to destroy.
If I could make a comment.
Yes.
You know, when we consider the omnipotence of God, we see it in His Word, we understand the sovereignty of God. That's something as Americans that we really don't understand, Brother Tom.
That's right.
And the reason why is because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, we live in a republic, so we really don't understand one person making the rules and we listen to His Word. In the times of the kings, when you did not listen to the word of the king, you could be killed.
Exactly.
Well, we see the sovereignty of God. We must listen to the word of God because His power is seen in His word and is seen in Him. Hence the reason Jesus Christ has all power today.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it behoove man to listen to Jesus today?
It'd be to their eternal benefit, wouldn't it?
I would believe so.
Yeah, you know, you look around the world, though, people don't really understand the sovereignty of God, evidently, because they're going around doing things their own way. They don't understand that He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. And we've got to, well, we are His slave.
That's
we
right.
are His subjects. We have to be obedient to Him. We have to do exactly what He says. And not our will.
But His will be done.
But His will be done. And so it's important for us to understand the power of God. To further demonstrate the power of God, the Hebrews writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express or the very image of His person, and upholding all things by His power, by the word of His power, which He had by Himself purged our sins on the right hand of the majesty of God. Notice that, upholding all things by the word of His power. What would be all things, Mike?
When we consider upholding all things by the word of His power, His creation,
yeah,
the things in which He created. And when you consider, we are the ones that's supposed to be listening to Him.
Uh-huh.
God spoke it into existence, and because He spoke it into existence, it's going to continue until He speak it out of existence. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 3.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
Yeah, anyone in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 17, the text says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You know, there is nothing, Mike, in this world that is not here by the power of God.
Nothing.
You know, and all the things are, you know, we think about the intricacies of our universe. We think about the beauties of our universe. All of these things are here and are continuing as they are because of the power of God.
That's right.
He's all powerful.
And that first chapter of Hebrews is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the reason when you consider Him upholding all things by the word of His power, how many things can we uphold by the word of our power?
Very little. Very little.
Very little.
You know, and you consider also when we're thinking about the omnipotence of God. Another interesting passage is found in the book of Acts, chapter 17.
That's right.
And verse 28. It says, for in Him we live and move and have our very being. I mean, our very being, our very life, everything that we are and consist of, well, it gets back to He who is omnipotent.
That's right.
And so when we think about the power of God, we need to realize that God's power not only provides us with heaven and earth, it not only provides us with the Word of God that teaches us how to be saved, but there's something else that I want you to see about God's power. You know, sometimes we go through difficulties in life, don't we, Mike?
Yes, we do.
We have great hardships and struggles in life. And sometimes we wonder, how in the world are we ever going to be getting through these things? Well, we've got to realize that God is omnipotent.
That's right.
And you'll notice in Psalm 121, in verse 3, through the end of the chapter, it says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. That's good news. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun will not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy word. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from time forth and even forevermore. You know, a lot of time when we think, Mike, about the power of God, the omnipotence of God, we think about the creation. And we think about the Word of God that we are given to show us the way of salvation. But I also believe the Scriptures teach us that God has the power to help us in times of struggle and in times of difficulty. And all too often, though, we rely upon our own power. And we fail to rely upon the omnipotence of God in times of difficulty.
Wasn't that what Solomon said in Proverbs 3:3-5? You know, if I could just say just a little bit of it, when he told his son Rehoboam to trust in the Lord,
mm-hmm,
and lean not unto your own understanding. Yes. Well, why would he tell him to trust in the Lord? Because God has all power.
Exactly.
And when we lean upon our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own knowledge, it's not going to always turn out the way that we desire.
That's right.
And it really is not going to turn out the way that God desires.
And that's the important thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
Doing things God's way, because after all, He's a God of love. God of hate, a God of justice, a God of mercy. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He is an omnipotent God. And because of all of those attributes, we need to then put our faith, our trust, our obedience in Him. And Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, you know, don't be leaning on your own understanding, because that leads to the ways of death.
That's right. That's right. You know, I was thinking about, you know, for Christians, those of us who are following Christ, members of the Lord's church, when we think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, number one, we are living stones. We are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But in verse number 9, there it says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. The word special there literally means we are hemmed in. Mm-hmm. But how are we hemmed in? We're hemmed in by the word of God and His power.
Mm-hmm.
When we keep God's word, when we go about doing His will, that's going to protect us. Even if we find it ourselves in situations when we're standing up for the truth, like against homosexuality, which is unholy,
mm-hmm.
or against things that are ungodly. Well, because we are doing what God will have us to do, we are hemmed in people.
That's right.
God will protect us.
Exactly. You know, and again, when we think about the power of God, I keep going back in my mind to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You know, that Greek word for the word power in the Greek is dunamis, where we get our English word what?
Dynamite.
Dynamite. God's word is dynamite.
Amen.
It is His power, the power of God unto salvation. That same power that brings us salvation is the same power that can send us to hell. It's the same power that is found in the Word of God. It is the same power that is seen in the creation of the world. It is the same power that, well, encourages us and helps us along this Christian life, because we do go through a great many difficulties in life, and we need this power. We need the omnipotence of God.
So are you saying that the Bible is teaching that the gospel has the power to blow up sin in our lives?
I think that'd be a good illustration.
I think so.
A good application. And not only that, because God's word is powerful and is very explosive, we realize then, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3, that it has everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness.
Amen.
When we think about life and godliness, what's he telling us, Mike, that God's word does for us?
Well, it gives us eternal life.
Uh-huh.
But remember what Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, for the thief come but to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but I come that you may have life.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to have eternal life. And aren't you thankful, Tom, that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have eternal life? We can have a taste of it here.
Exactly. You know, and there's a beauty that's found in Christ. Well, doesn't Paul say something about the peace that
passeth all understanding?
That's right. And so we can have that as God's people. And that's available to us as a result of the power of God.
That's right.
God is good.
God
is mighty. You know, our God, you know, we sing a song sometimes, our God is an awesome God. And He is awesome because He is all-powerful. Well, Mike, we're about up against a break. We're going to take a little break here, and on the other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about something that's very mind-boggling to me, and that is the omnipresence of God. See you on the other side of the break.
Brethren, we have met.
Maybe you have heard someone say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. As good as that may sound, it does not properly reflect the truth. The psalmist David declared, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Every time we read the Bible, we have access to the very mind of God, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. If we refuse to do the will of the Father, Jesus will say in judgment, "I never knew you, depart from me." The true attitude we should have toward the Holy Scripture should be, "God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not." Do you believe God's word? For you, does that settle the matter concerning religion once and for all? Are you living by the word of God? The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And our worship times are each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and also at 6 p.m. We also have Bible study for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and speak the truth in love.
Someday when my last line is written.
Perhaps you've been on a path or road that leads to nowhere. Maybe you have been down that path, and perhaps you feel like you're on that path right now. But you don't have to be. We need to be walking on the old paths and the narrow way of Christ so as not to end up in a knothole of destruction, the path that leads to nowhere. Friends, make the level path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26. Walk in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. And a highway shall be there, and a way it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring men. Yea, fools shall not err therein. I'm David Harris from the Hillcrest Church of Christ, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes beginning at 9:30, worship services at 10:30, and midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m. Please make plans to attend and worship with us.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore. With me today is Mike Bonner filling in for David Harris, and we're just thankful that he was willing to come our way and to be a part of this radio program. We wanted you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and we encourage you to come to call us with a question or a comment at 254-445-2473. The program is always so much better when you call in and give us a comment or a question. And remember, I believe that the only dumb question is a question not answered. And so if you have a Bible question, especially about what we're talking about today, we encourage you to call in. We're talking about the attributes of God, and there's nothing that helps us to better understand, to better appreciate, and to help us to understand our responsibilities than when we understand the attributes of God. You know, the more we look into the Word of God, the deeper it gets. Doesn't it, Mike?
That's right.
You know, I've got a little saying written in front of my Bible that says the Bible is an ocean of knowledge that little children can wade around in, yet no man can fathom the depths thereof. And when David and I worked together on a program, we studied together, and the more we studied together, the deeper we find ourselves into the Word of God, the more we find and the more blessings we enjoy. And, you know, and that's because God's Word's powerful. And that's what we've been talking about for the last few minutes, the omnipotence and the power of God. God's Word is just simply so powerful. Well, He spoke, and all things came into existence. And He has given us that very powerful Word in the pages of the Bible, hadn't He, Mike?
That's right.
And so as we study God's Word, and we become a part of God's Word, we have access. Can you think of that? Imagine that. We have access to the very power of God.
You know, and when you consider the power of God, no wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee."
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Why? Because it's the power of God.
Exactly.
It influences our minds and our actions, thus directing our steps.
Exactly. You know, another awesome attribute of God is that of His omnipresence. Mike, what does omnipresence mean?
God is everywhere at the same time. There is no place where He is not.
That's something, isn't it?
That's something.
There is no place that God is not. When we think about the omnipresence of God, I don't know that we can find a better explanation of that than what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7. In Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about thee. Now, there is no place that God is not. I remember, Mike, when I was a young boy, and even to this very day, there is a hymn that we often sing about the all-seeing eye of God. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. When I was a child, that scared me just a little bit, realizing that He always watches. There's nothing that He does not see, nothing that escapes His attention. Why? Because He is everywhere, at all places, at all times. That's mind-boggling, isn't it, David?
It is. It is. And also, when you consider that God sees everything, it's a blessing how how Solomon puts it, in Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the good and the evil. Now, Tom, you know, sometimes we focus on God looking at the bad.
Yeah.
But Solomon told Rehoboam that He's looking at the good and the evil. That ought to be encouraging.
Exactly.
That God sees the good that we're doing. Especially as Christians.
Yes.
We're going out and we're helping people. We're offering aid to people. We're encouraging people to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, live holy and righteous lives. God sees that. But not only does He see me working in Abilene and you working in Hamilton and David in Stephenville, but He also sees brethren that's working in Europe.
That's right.
All at the same time.
And how is He able to do that?
Because He's omnipresent.
He is everywhere.
He's everywhere.
There is no place that God is not. You know, when we think about the omnipresence of God, another interesting passage is found in Isaiah chapter 57 in verse 15. There Isaiah writes, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One." And that's a powerful description of God, isn't it?
Yes,
the
it
High
is.
And Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity. Now, wrap your mind around that. Who inhabits eternity? The High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity. Again, that is pointing out the idea that God is everywhere. There is no place that God is not. And, you know, when I think about that, when I was a child, I always act better in the presence of my father and my mother. Didn't you, Dave? Mike?
Yes, I did.
And if I knew my dad was looking, well, I walked the line. And as soon as I thought that he might not be looking, well, I kind of let loose just a little bit. But I always acted better in the presence of my father.
You know, one of the beauties of growing in Christ is that when you understand that God sees you all the time, that you live your life accordingly.
That's right.
And even when you make a misstep, knowing that God sees that you have made a misstep, you want to make it right.
That's right.
Because you know that your Father in heaven is watching.
Exactly. You know, and so we cannot flee from the presence of God, can we?
No. As a matter of fact, I was considering Jeremiah 23, verse 23 and 24. There the Bible says, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" Brother Tom, that's a powerful passage.
That's right. There is no place that God, He fills everything. God sees all. He's everywhere. And because He is everywhere and sees everything, how should we act?
We ought to act obedient to God.
That's right. Because we know we can't hide things from God.
No.
You know, you might be able to think you go in the closet and hide it from the preacher. You might be able to hide it from your wife or your husband. You might be able to hide it from your friends. You might be able to hide it from the government. But you will not hide it from God because He is omnipresent.
That's right.
Remember when in the book of Jonah, God told Jonah to go to the Ninevites and preach?
That's right.
What did Nineveh think he was going to try to do? Jonah.
Jonah, he tried to leave God. He tried to hide from God.
He's trying to flee from His presence.
That's right.
But was he successful?
He was unsuccessful.
Exactly. And so there are a lot of people today, evidently, who are trying also to flee from the presence of God, but they will not. They will not be successful because God is omnipresent. There is no place that God is not.
You know, as a child of God, shouldn't we always desire the presence of God?
Most definitely.
We should desire his presence. So we're not trying to get away from God. If anything, we're trying to draw near to God, James chapter 4.
Yeah. And when you're doing the right things, aren't you welcoming his presence?
That's right.
I know that when when I was a child and I did something good, I welcomed my dad's presence.
That's right.
But when I was evil, when I did something wrong, I loathed his presence.
That's right.
And that's why I think a lot of people are trying to flee from the presence of God, because they're not doing right. And they refuse and do not want to listen and to be aware of God's presence. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, we encourage you to do so at 254-445-2473. And so when we think about the omnipresence of God, well, we're told in 1 Kings 8, verse 27, that the earth and the heaven cannot contain God. He's just too big, too powerful to contain God. Now, I believe we have a caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your name and a question or a comment, we sure would appreciate it.
Well, fellas, this is Jason.
Hey, Jason.
I was just looking at something as I was considering what y'all are saying, and Paul's speech in Acts chapter 17 to the Athenians bears out to me the omnipresence of God, where he says, you know, that he's not worshipped by, verse 25, not served by men's hands, as though he needs anything, and then he goes on and tells how he made the earth and doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. There's no way to contain him.
Exactly.
Verse 24 is what we're looking at, what I was looking for here. I was just now getting to it. There's no way to contain him in some temple or some place. It's something maybe that's difficult for us to understand because of our finite mind, because we are limited by time and space.
Exactly.
But God being a spirit is not.
That's exactly right. You know, and doesn't it for you, Jason, a little bit mind-boggling and also a little bit scary knowing that God is everywhere and there's nothing that we do that escapes his attention?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you think about that, everything that you do is no, you may even hide things from yourself. You know, y'all talk about things you can hide things from people and places and so forth. You can hide things from yourself. You can deny things. But, you know, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 that he's going to bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. And to me, that includes secrets we keep from ourselves as well.
And how, Jason, would God know about those secrets, the things that we do, good or bad, if he's not omnipresent?
That there's no way to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your call. You got anything else you want to add to it, Jason?
No, I'd probably get Mike laughing too hard, so I'll just go ahead and go and not give him any more problems.
All right, well, we appreciate you calling in.
Great comment. Thank you.
Y'all have a good night.
Well, you know, again, you know, he mentioned there that passage in Acts chapter 17, verses 27 and 28, or he mentioned 24, but, you know, it talks about in verse 27 of that chapter, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our very being, as certain of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. How is it that he cannot be far from either any one of us? Well, it's because
he's a spirit.
He's a spirit. He's omnipresent.
He's omnipresent.
There is no place that God is not.
But doesn't that also show the value of man?
Mm-hmm.
Because the very fact that God wants to be everywhere shows that he values us. You remember in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 30, when Jesus was sending his disciples out on the limited commission, and it was Jesus that told his disciples that the very hairs on your head are what?
They're numbered.
They're numbered, which shows that God is very interested in his people. He's very interested in us. just like he's very interested in the souls of men.
Exactly.
Wasn't that the reason why Jesus came, to seek and save the lost?
Mm-hmm.
His very his omnipresence shows that he wants men to rely upon him and that he's not far from them.
Isn't it true, Mike, that you want to be around those whom you love?
Yes.
And God being everywhere and desiring and being around us, that says a whole lot about God's care and concern for us, doesn't it?
That's right.
You've been saying.
That's right.
Well, you know, not only, Mike, is God omnipotent and God is omnipresent, but another very powerful attribute of God is that he is omniscient. Exactly what does omniscience mean, Mike?
He has infinite knowledge. He knows everything. As a matter of fact, man cannot teach God anything.
Exactly right. You know, we have a lot of people who we call them, you just think you're a know-it-all, right?
Yes.
A lot of people think that, but we know that God does know it all. There is nothing that God does not know. He knows the past as well as the future. He knows the present as well as those things that will happen in the future. And he knows, well, there is nothing that escapes the mind of God. Now, when we think about the omniscience of God, that's really, again, another mind-boggling attribute of God, isn't it, Mike?
That's right. As a matter of fact, as you was talking, I was thinking about what Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 16, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. How can we give God wisdom?
We can't.
We can't.
You know, and there are some people that have the gall to believe that they can really instruct God. And are we not, Mike, doing that very thing every time we disobey his will or begin to change his will or to add to his will in any way? Are we not striving? Are we not trying to think that we're informing God how things ought to be?
You know, we see that not only in our personal lives, but unfortunately in the religious world.
Yes, most definitely.
You know, when a man goes outside of the scriptures and begin to form their own religion, well, that's their religion, not God's.
Exactly.
They can do what they want to in it. But the wisdom of God teaches us how to worship God, how to honor God, how to honor our wives and how to honor our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we find that, Tom? In the Word of God.
Exactly. When we think about the omniscience of God, the verse that always sticks out in my mind is Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, beginning in verse 1, it says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and hast known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. And in that same chapter, in verses 15 and 16, he says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members are written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet they were none of them. You know, we learn from this, Mike, that, there is nothing that we will ever say that God does not know is going to occur. There is nothing that we think that God does not know. You know, and, we talk about, well, I know what you're thinking. We tell people we don't really know unless it's done in action. But that's not true of God.
That's
God
right.
Knows our very thoughts. There's nothing that escapes the attention, the knowledge of God. And if my God has all knowledge, he has infinite knowledge, he knows all things, do you think that he knows how best for us to live here on this earth?
Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, because he created us in his image, after his likeness, the Bible there teaches also that he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But then God gave us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, which came forth from his word, his utterances, Brother Tom.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of the utterances of God, that which comes forth from the mind of God, his words, this is how we know how to live. Because since he knows all things, shouldn't we go to him because he knows all things?
Exactly. You know, if you're going to go to a source for to find out knowledge about a certain issue, wouldn't you want to go to the greatest source, the most valuable source, the wisest source?
Someone who knows what they're talking about.
That's right. And I believe God would fit that picture, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would.
Because he is all-knowing. He is omniscient. There is nothing that is beyond his knowledge. And so he's the one to whom we ought to go to. And when we think about his perfect knowledge, he has perfect knowledge in everything. For example, he has perfect knowledge of the inanimate creation. In Psalm 147 and verse 4, it says, "He telleth the numbers of the stars, he calleth them by their name." You know, when we look at the stars, they're innumerable to us, but he knows every one. He even calls them by name. That is the omniscience of God.
And he even knows when a fowl or a sparrow hits the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today when we was driving here, we saw a bird, and it was kind of flopping. I guess, you know, something hit it. You know, God knew about that?
Exactly.
That's how in tune he is with his creation.
And to point that out, you know, in Psalm 50, in verse 11, he says, "I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine." How much is all?
All is all.
Exactly right. And so we need to realize that it's important for us that God is all-knowing. He knows all things. Now, I've got a text that we need to be message that we need to be thinking about for a moment, that someone once told me that I recently heard that someone had been thinking about what the Bible says about becoming a Christian, and has been praying about the things and family members, and hearing that God doesn't hear the prayers of non-Christians, the conclusion was that all prayers were no good. That all the prayers were no good and didn't count, can't grasp a family as lost also. Does God hear all prayers?
According to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord are against those who do evil.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is not following God, God is not listening to
them.
That's
right. Does that mean that God cannot hear?
No, it doesn't.
But it means God's not going to give attention to that prayer because they're not being faithful in the sight of God. And I believe we have another caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your name and comment, we sure would appreciate it.
Tom, this is Barry.
Barry.
I was listening on the computer and the streaming quit. Anyway, I don't know where y'all are, but I was just thinking about when y'all were talking about God being all-present, all-knowing, all-seeing. Have you thought about what it says about prayer and taking that into consideration? Jesus talks about that, us being evil, we know how to give good gifts, well, the Father knows how to give better. But then when you go over and you look at what James says in James chapter 4, God already knows what I'm going to do with what I'm asking before I ask for it. And because of that knowledge, when we pray is another attribute of our lives. When we pray, we must be specific in what we pray for, know what we're going to do with it, and use it to glorify him, or we're asking amiss. And that's what James chapter 4 really hits in on. Mm-hmm. I don't know where y'all are right now, but if you'd like to comment on that, I'd like to listen to it for a minute.
You know, prayer is a very powerful thing. And can you imagine, Mike, who do you think's praying around the world right now?
Christians.
How many of them?
All of them, hopefully.
And then God is able to hear and to answer every one of these prayers. And we think about the prayer of the unrighteous. God hears those prayers, but the prayer of a righteous man
availeth much.
So you see, God hears everything, but God does not always acknowledge everything. You know, sometimes we hear people, but we don't acknowledge what they're saying because they're not right. And sometimes people will say something bad about us, and we hear it, but we just kind of ignore it because it's against us. The same thing, I think, is true with God's prayer, with praying to God. God hears the prayer of the righteous. It availeth much for them. Those who are unfaithful, who are not living right, their prayers mean nothing to God. And that's why it's important for us to be in the proper and right relationship with God so that our prayers will not be a hindrance, but will be that which will be a powerful and help us.
You know, even when you think of the Christian, when you consider 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, if a man is not treating his spouse right, now I'm talking about in the Lord.
Yes.
The Bible there teaches that his prayers are hindered.
Mm-hmm.
So God can choose not to hear his own people if they are not living accordingly.
Exactly right.
He was a man who is mistreating his wife, who is the weaker vessel, and he's a Christian, he's a follower of God, but he's not treating his wife right, and God is saying, I'm not going to listen to you until you treat your spouse right.
And who are we to question God?
When we can't question
He's God. Sovereign. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-wise.
Yes.
And we have no right to question God for anything that he does and says and what he requires of us. You know, if we claim that he is omniscient, and that means infinite knowledge and all-knowing, then do you think, Mike, that God really knows what's best for us?
He does.
And if he really knows what's best for us, should we not then do things his way? Well, what does God say then about in his omniscience, in his omnipotence, about what we really need to do to become a child of God?
Well, number one, we need to trust his word.
Exactly.
We need to
right.
know that his word is all that we need. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, we need to tell people that God's word is God's word.
Exactly.
There's no additions nor subtractions. We need to trust in his word. You know, on top of what you just said, as it relates to salvation, since God is offering the salvation, don't you think he knows what he wants in order for men to be saved?
Exactly.
So man needs to just do what he has asked.
And that's why he's given us his word.
That's right.
And that's why we're told in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by
the word of God.
The word of God. And so that's where it all begins, doesn't it, Mike?
It begins with the word of God.
The powerful, omniscient, omnipresent word of God has been given to us. And we're going to have to hear that word to produce faith. But then there's another step, isn't there, Mike, on the road to salvation other than just simply faith?
Yeah, you have to have trust and confide in God, which is belief.
Mm-hmm.
And Hebrews 11, and verse number 6, you know, the Bible clearly teaches that we must have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
For without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. And I think that's the key. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
That's right. And so if we really believe in God and have faith in God, then we're going to abide by such passages as Luke 13, verse 3, nay, except ye repent,
shall all likewise perish.
And so if we're going to really trust in God and his omnipotence and his omniscience, then we're going to be willing to repent of our sin. Well, Mike, exactly what is repentance?
Repentance is a change of mind which leads to a change of life.
Exactly. And if we're not willing to change our life, we want to just stay in our old lifestyle, have we really come, do we really believe in God?
No.
Do we really trust in him?
No.
And so if we have faith in God and we're willing to repent of our sins, then we're also going to be willing to confess him.
That's right.
Confessing has to do more than just saying his name aloud, doesn't it, Mike?
It's not just a mental assent, but it's also using our mouths, but also our actions.
Exactly. And so when we are willing to confess him in our actions and being willing to repent of our sins and believe in him, have faith in him, then the next natural step is to, well, what did Jesus say in Mark 16 and verse 16?
Well, he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Those are the words of Jesus.
Words of Jesus.
When they did that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, what happened, Mike?
Well, they repent and they were baptized. 3,000 souls were saved that day.
And then in Acts 2 verse 47 it says,
the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
And so that's what God's plan is all about.
That's right.
The attributes of God. Mike, we thank you so much for being on the program, filling in for David this day, and we hope that you have a great success in the Lord's kingdom, and we're thankful that you're with us. God bless America. God bless our troops, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for having me.